Just Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
Hey, y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday, and we are stealing beer. I'm Augie Carton.
Hey, I'm John Hall, and you are fairly accurate this time. It is...
Me or the thieves?
You. It is Monday.
Never heard you say I'm accurate.
It is Monday.
I wasn't ready for that at all.
And it's probably 5 o'clock somewhere, like, in...
Oh, God.
In, like, Moscow.
Isn't that a country song?
Yeah. 5 o'clock in Moscow.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah. The doomsday clock gets 1 second closer. Yeah. that's how I'm living these days. Anyway, yeah, we're recording this on Monday, and
this is another one of those.
It's going
this
up.
Is another one of those topical. We're just about to cross the line.
Yeah.
Shows, right? Because we had a very low energy meetings past catch up last week because somehow this happened to us without planning. So.
But, you know, this time, so Cass isn't around, Kennedy is not around, but this time, what? Oh, you're mad at Beer One?
Oh.
Mad at Beer One?
Yeah, I don't like Beer One.
Okay.
Sorry.
but
I
this
just
time.
Took a little sip thinking I'd be warming up. And
this time, no low energy. Bring your A game because Justin managed to get us a guest.
Justin got us a great guest. We got Gordon Welpley of Float House. What's up, Gordon?
Hey, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What the fuck is this beer?
I don't know, but it tastes plasticky and sour. It's like somebody carbonated yogurt whey.
Gordon, we're obviously going to talk about
we
all
never
of your
do
stuff.
This.
Can,
we
can
got,
you take
we'll
your first?
This,
could you take your first?
Take your
sip
first
of this
step
beer?
Of beer one. Like,
yes.
All right. To be fair to beer one, I just put down a cup of black coffee to come in here and record with you guys. Poured beer one into my black stemmed glass. And took a little sip to kind of like warm up and prime the pumps for our discussion. And I've been completely sidetracked. So let's just let it sit for our usual 10 to 15 minutes of getting to know Gordon, see what's going on. And then we'll come back to it. But Gordon, I think you should put some in your face right now.
Yeah,
in case it opens up to be a beautiful, beautiful beer down the road. And I'm like, wait, when I first tasted it.
Yeah, doubtful.
Anyway. No. You know, this is somebody's NA that they have cut by 2/3 with like mountain spring water.
You know what? You may not be wrong. What if you brewed a full strength beer and made it 98% Pellegrino?
Right. That's the only thing that I'm getting.
So what's the sweetness I usually get when we drink, when I'm the telltale cell for
the wort.
Is always it tastes like raw wort or like malt extract, right?
Could
so
this be, you know what this could
I don't
be,
have
this
any
could be a
of
hop
that
water.
Sweetness.
This could be a watered down hop water.
I definitely taste like damp saltines.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. We're not supposed to do this yet. We've run in too far. Gordon, back off. If we just do this, we don't get any Gordon time. Usually we try to save this for about 15 minutes in because this is how this goes. Usually it's much more positive though. We're not usually this mad at Justin first thing in the morning on a Monday. Anyway, so Gordon, you've been around the block a couple times. I want to talk about your path to where you are because you seem to be a journeyman, having held a lot of different roles. But let's start with where you're at because there's all kinds of questions I have about this because I actually fuck around on the fringes of what you're doing as just a beer brewer.
Yeah.
But you are joining the trend of THC beverages, but by way of NA beer, right? So is that what I know Float House to be? Make half percent alcohol and then spike it with Delta 9?
Technically, they're not beers. And this is very important.
Government's listening. Let's...
You know, and we, you know...
Wait, is that right? Like, you can't call Klaus Dahler beer?
No, those are beers.
Because there's some... psychotropic or whatever in it that isn't ethanol, you have to identify it as a different thing.
Well, in order to be able to, you know, produce these products and distribute them across state lines, we had to make a product that would, you know, aside from the cannabinoids, fall firmly under the FDA. And so we had to figure out how to make a, you know, malted barley based beverage with hops that was fermented with yeast and dealkalized, that was not considered a malt beverage.
Okay.
So giant pain to get to this point. But I think the juice is worth the squeeze.
Okay. So for in my experience, and this is obviously an evolving thing, like what's funny is, so John and I have been doing this show for 10 years. So my guess is almost 10 years ago, we all gathered in Denver during a craft brewers conference. Mm-hmm. You know, to record the shows and to do the craft brewers conference. And it was, I feel like it was within a stone's throw of legalization in Colorado. You know what I mean? Like I don't feel like it was the day it became legal in Colorado, but it was still those kind of, hey, it's legal. All the actual gummies mimicked candies, which they no longer do. And you know what I mean? It was still that figuring it out phase of things.
It
I say
had
that,
just happened.
I say that
it
to
had
point
just
out.
Happened.
Yeah. So, but I say that to point out, even though it now feels very normal and a lot of states have legalized, and I think it's 48 states you can do Delta 9 beverages in, we're only a decade into legal weed, right? Or a little over?
Yeah, over that. I think it was, well, I don't know the exact year, but California was earlier on that. And then I can't remember if it was 2013 or 2014. It was my first CBC in Denver. I remember going into a dispensary there that was just like a freaking Apple store with iPads everywhere and, you know, just way too cool. And yeah, so it's been around, but the hemp side of things is definitely a more recent development.
The reason I ask is because, so I've had friends, I'm an older dude, I'm 54. So in my set, you know, it's that time where you've got to be careful about how much you consume, even steak, you know what I mean? Like, it'll fuck your sleep up. But I've had friends settle to the, I do edibles and drink NA beer side of things, or I don't do edibles, I still drink beer. So the marrying of the two flavors, is the idea that some people just aren't alcohol people anymore, but beer still tastes good, so we should make, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
You
so
know,
we should make this product.
We're kind of solving for the former, but you know, the reality is that it's not so black and white. There's a large spectrum, and you know, a lot of people here in Connecticut, we hear from our retailers, and this kind of all over the place, there's a lot of mixed carts happening where somebody will buy a, you know, four pack of double IPA and a four pack of, you know, hemp seltzer, or a six pack of Athletic and hemp seltzer. So, you know, it is making it possible so somebody can have that beer experience without that negative kind of downsides to, you know, sleep or the myriad other things that happen when you drink as you're getting older.
Yeah, no doubt. So I often lament the judgy watch I wear when we talk on the show, because it definitely lets me know exactly what I've crossed the border to bed, sleep after X alcohol units consumed within X hours of bed. So I'm intrigued here because so we had Chief Jeff O'Neill of Industrial Arts come on with some CBD seltzers, I guess almost 2 or 3 years ago. And of course,
two, I think, yeah.
Okay. But of course, because of the way my brain works, I kind of deep dived what is this and how does it work on me and blah, 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 blah. Right. Mm-hmm. So for the time, what I would explain to friends who were intrigued by it was that I found a 5% THC and 5% CBD op seltzer hit me kind of right in line with a Sierra Nevada pale ale, right? Mm. The buzz and the rate of onset and the effect seemed to be, you know, parallel. Like it took 20, 30 minutes before you're feeling full effect. You felt a nice light buzz, but not wasted in any way. However, the drinking experience versus the drinking cannabis experience changes there, because if you keep drinking beer, you keep getting more and more wasted in kind of a linear fashion.
Right.
Whereas if you keep drinking weed, you're going to have a much smaller impact on your tomorrow and so on. But it's not linear. Like the fourth one, just all of a sudden you're, or at least I'm sorry, I should only talk about myself, but you know, I'm sitting in the corner of a couch ordering pizza and wondering why everybody's talking about me. You know what I mean? And that's God, just not
your fucking ego.
What?
Nothing.
Go it's ahead. Not me. It's the weed, John. It's not me. It's the weed. So I found that for me, it was like, all right, if it's just a Tuesday night and you just want to unwind, one, maybe 2 5-milligram seltzers are great for that. No impact, no, not even the caloric weight of a beer. But if you wanted to go out drinking, it still wasn't a good substitute for me. You know what I mean? Cause at four or five, like for me, it's still better to go lower alcohol consuming than low THC consuming. Does that make sense? Does that track? And do you have a smaller, higher?
Yeah. So we, you know, this is kind of where we positioned our launch SKUs. Was originally they were 2.5 milligrams. Cause you know, the idea is to encourage us, you know, sessionability of these products so that they're, you know, you have more control over it because of that faster onset. You're not going to get to the point where you forget how to breathe and have to manually activate your lungs because you've had too much THC, but it's, you know, something that's much more, you know, kind of controllable. And, you know, the goal is to get you just a little bit floaty, and then you can kind of continue that. If you were to, you know, drink 4 of these over the course of an afternoon, you know, now we're at 3 milligrams of CBD and 3 milligrams of THC.
Okay.
And that's kind of my sweet spot. We went up from 2.5 because Connecticut has a hard ceiling of 3 milligrams. And just like ABV, people are milligram shopping.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that to be true. So if there's anything we've learned on this show from beers like Canoe and Boat, nobody drinks like I drink. Like nobody wants to just constantly be downing beers and not getting wasted. You know what I mean? So I get what you're saying.
Well, I do.
But I definitely patterned it. For, so when this first came out, and I think you're right. I think the milligram shopping destroyed this brand. But at the time of Chief introducing me to this whole concept, there was a company out there, I think it was Can, that made 1 milligram seltzers.
Yeah, for New York specifically, because there's a 1 milligram max per beverage emergency order that also comes with a ratio of 15 milligrams of CBD, which, you know, isn't really being observed by anybody if you've been into
New York is the Wild West. I don't care what anybody says.
It's crazy there. But, you know, I think there is a pretty good chance there's going to be actual regulation on the category that sounds like it might be sensible in the pipe. So we'll see what happens there.
I see what you said in the pipe. In the pipe's pretty good. Well done. Well, good flip. Good flip. Respect. So, but back then I would say, well, here's the thing, dude. We all know no matter what the people are trying to freak out about, you can't overdose on weed, right? So I would say to my friends, I was like, look, if this works for you, it seems to me the move is to have a 5 and then switch to 1s because like the danger level for me, I've found is around 25 milligrams in a day. Like the times I've done that, it's just been, you wake up with a worse hangover than booze because you're just dumb.
Just so grimy.
And so on and so forth. But so my argument would be like, look, dude, if you have a 5 milligram and then you switch to 1s, you're not going to drink 20 of these things in a night, no matter how hard you try. So that's the safety barrier. But so 3 would I'd be good for about 4 of those. And these, so you actually sent us, I haven't tasted them yet because if I hate them, I don't want to blow up your show. Don't take
please,
that wrong.
Please let me know though.
I probably will, but you know what I mean? I don't want to be like, this is fucking dog shit. By the way, tell us about your new business. So I like to leave that. I like to leave that to the back burner till we're done. Not that I don't think I'll like them, but I guess so if they're 12 ounce cans, there's 3 milligrams per 12 ounces. So 4 of those in a night would be, I guess a normal, definitely not weekend drinking, but good weeknight drinking.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. All right. What brings us together on Steal This Beer is a candid conversation of beer. What it is, not what we thought it would be. How it tastes, not what we did to get it. And when we would drink it, if it was sitting in our cellar, not what we would trade with Brian Cass to get a free round of canning out of it. To facilitate that, we drink blind out of black glasses. You've already heard us touch on beer one because it was so impactful when we did our first sips. But now we're going to dive deep into it and talk about it. John Hall.
Listen, first of all,
yeah,
we are taught from a very, very young age not to dive into shallow waters. And this is about as thin.
Did you listen to a single word anybody said for the first 15 minutes, or were you just working on that?
No, you just set me up with that right there. That was just, you know,
pure genius. I feel like that was workshop. That didn't come off the top of your head. You're not that good.
You might be
the beer version of Robin Williams. That was just fast.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is so it's now bad.
Here's the thing, right? It has those bones of an NA, right? Those brittle, non-calcified bones of an NA. And it is, but it has this hop water thing as well. But there's some malt in there, but it doesn't have that overly warty thing that we get from Athletic.
So that's my problem.
And that's where I'm totally fucked up on this. But it's also so then my brain is going is it High Life Light? If that's a thing, you know? But there's not even enough.
No, it doesn't taste like beer.
Right.
It doesn't taste like beer. It literally tastes to me. And I know this is going to sound horrible. I don't even mean it that impactful, but the notes I'm getting are literally moist saltine, yogurt whey, a little bit of plastic.
Yeah.
And the thing you said first, like mineral water, like remember when Aquafina first came out and it was just tap water? Well, I think it still is this.
Yeah.
But no. Here's the thing. What Coca-Cola claimed to have done was they've got a combination of salts they add to it to make it taste good. So it's literally salted water. So no matter where they're pulling the water from, be it, you know, Des Moines or Newark or Miami, the salts make it taste the same wherever you go. So it tastes like that. Like somebody was like, and then put our patented salt mixture in and it'll taste like that.
And there's something. So in the Dakotas, there's a thing where people put salt in their beer while they're drinking it. Like they'll get a Miller Lite.
It's fun. I've done that. It's fun.
This could benefit from that. But I want Gordon to jump in.
I feel
in,
like
but,
it would go way too salty, way too fast. Like it's already salty.
just go drink ocean water. I want to hear from Gordon, but
And Gordon, be careful. You don't want, you know what I mean? We've been doing this so long. Like we really try not to yuck anybody's yum. But if you throw out a list of flavor matchers like moist saltine and so on,
here's what I'm going to say though about yucking yum is I'm drinking the shit out of this
because it tastes like water and it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
I know that, but that's the thing, right? It's not like our initial reaction was like, oh, this is gross and terrible, and then it's like I'm like my glass is almost empty because I'm gulping it down.
You're
just done with
problems.
Yoga. I was out for the morning 2 miler, and like this is.
All right, give it to Gordon. So,
go for
come
it,
on,
Gordon.
Buddy.
You
register.
Know, the saltine descriptor is fairly out. When I taste this, all I can think about is the problem of body and non-alc production. Like, how do you replace or come close to replacing that fullness that ethanol will give to a beer? And this, for me, my first couple iterations of our light, which is kind of American lager inspired.
That's the crispy one. So thieves, the two cans identify themselves as hoppy and crispy, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah. Well, we've got the IPA, which stands for infused and pretty awesome. And then...
Oh, that's horrible. Now you're off, Gordon. I'm done with you.
We had to have a rationale for using that, so we're not crossing over into terms of art that we're not allowed to use.
Right. No, I like it. It's just God, it's horrible. Anyway,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
So, this the feedback I got on those initial batches was like, this is like a beer seltzer. It's a barley pop with nothing to it. And there's only a couple ways that you can build in additional body. You can work at it, with additional sugars, which if this is some sort of lager-esque or very light golden sort of attempt here, you can't rely on that. The other is bitterness, which you can't have too much in this either. So you're kind of hamstrung as to what you're gonna do to build that out. And it's refreshing minus that sort of plasticky, it's not quite phenolic, but it's borderline tape to me.
Ooh, ooh. I like that note. That plasticky thing, like Scotch tape, like a fresh
Yeah,
roller.
exactly.
Like the little green plastic. So I've opened it. So I know what we're doing. So I'm done playing the game. I want to move back to you, but keep going. I just want to let everybody know I know what it is from now on.
Oh man,
Because we
I'm
don't have Kennedy to tell us, so I figured I better get ahead of it.
And I think to me that it probably is like a hallmark of using one of the non-maltose fermenting strains, which can throw some funny esters out there.
I think
So I
I don't
opened
know.
it as well because
Look,
I
so
wanted to do some sleuthing.
it's ALS, ALS. Is
This
this
is
a ice
Al's.
bucket challenge? What's
Al's
ALS?
Classic, non-alcoholic, contains less than 5%. They call it near beer. And on the label copy is a classic, easy drinking brew, light, crisp, refreshing. Crack one open anytime, anywhere. 54 calories.
For
And
calories. How are they getting the calories in there? It tastes like water.
but as we were talking, and after I opened this when Gordon was giving his notes, I took a picture of it because it says it's made in Beacon. And
Yeah, it's
I
Jeff
texted
O'Neill.
Jeff O'Neill and I said, "Hey, did you make this?" And he just responded, "Yes, sir."
Now, who is the company? Is this a Industrial Arts beer?
This beer was made at Industrial
I
Arts
understand that,
by
but
Jeff.
who? Oh, but Jeff has got. Jeff told us on our last show he's 80% contracting, right? So who's he contracting this for?
For Al's Brewing Company.
Because this doesn't taste to me anything like Safety Glasses Pilsner.
No. Well, I mean, you can't just repackage stuff. I mean, that would be questionable.
I guess.
I'm not mad at it. Like I'm mad at it, but I'm also not mad at
The next question, and you know this will just piss Chief off, so let's not piss Chief off. But I really want to know how he got 54 calories into this because it tastes like water with a little lemon and some Scotch tape. All right, so let's get back. So I liked what you were saying there, Gordon, as you broke it down. So that's probably a good entree into catching up on your varied past in brewing from sales of famous beers of yore that contained apricot through brewing through whatever to this. So why don't you give us that background and then tell us when you dialed in on trying to craft an NA, because you said a lot of things in there I kind of understand from perspective, and I definitely know from kind of empirical flavor evaluation. But as you were talking about aspects and choices, it sounded like, like you'd sat at the knee of somebody. So start at number nine and move your way up to today and the education along the way that.
Totally. So, never sold Magic Ad, but when I was working
Oh.
there, I graduated from UVM and saw a Craigslist posting for a packaging job at Magic Hat and jumped on it. I
Oh,
think
so Kennedy, I think, said you were a salesperson. Sorry if I got that wrong.
I did some sales for El Segundo out in
Okay. So
California
that's what I was
later.
hearing.
But
Is
the
El Segundo,
first
that's the
rep.
one that has the one famous brand?
Oh, the you mean the Stone Cold
Yeah.
Broken Skull? Yeah, I was there when we were working on that. That was a wild day of drinking. that guy can get after it.
Good for him. At least that's valid. I'm so sick of like
Yeah,
sober
some of these
people like
celebrities
Frasier
getting in who,
Crane
yeah.
and Hulk Hogan who don't even drink being
Right.
drinkers.
No, he walked the walk and drinks a beer. That's for
Yeah,
sure.
crooked. He walked the walk, failing the sobriety test. Yeah, I like that too.
But that's what I want to hear. That's who I want my brewers to be. I want people that are passionate.
Yeah, you know, so I worked packaging there and, you know, had been such a fan of beer even before that. Like I remember going to a homebrew shop here in Connecticut when I was still in high school and making a really terrible attempt at Sierra Nevada Pale with my dad. And you know, that was the start of this entire thing. So I worked packaging at Magic Hat and ended up moving out to California with my girlfriend at the time, now wife. And this was like, you know, 2011, and there were, I think, 10 or less breweries in LA, and you know, had a really hard time getting back into one, but eventually weaseled my way into El Segundo, starting out by doing like Beer Fest attaché is what they called it, where they just send me with the jockey box and kegs to all the
I could
fests,
use
and
one of
then
those every day of my life. So if you ever want to
right.
come back to that side of the business, ring me up.
I'm doing it now, just
Oh,
no jockey boxes.
that's an interesting question. Back burner that, but I want to come back to that.
Sure.
What's that like? Try like where are the lines that are people
Complicated.
reacting at Fest to you being there? But go stay on this, but let's make
Right.
that after beer too.
So, you know, I knew I was just on a mission to learn everything I could about the brewing industry. I wanted to do every job and, you know, with the goal of opening up my own brewery someday. You know, that's how my brain works. I want to fully understand something before acting on it. And at El Segundo, I would, you know, do as much production help as I could, which was great because, you know, tiny team and we're just making, well, at that point, it was all IPAs and one stout. But you know, El Segundo was a great place to be doing that. And then we were self-distro, so I had like West Side LA up into the valley, then even went down to San Diego, which was a ton of driving. But I did my brewing school at UCSD. So I would go down
Wow.
there, sell stuff, and then you know, have classes with Mitch Steele and Yousef Journey and you know, who's who of awesome brewers from down there.
So if we were in a bar, I wouldn't have to introduce you to Mitch.
No,
Anyway, go
I
on.
talk to him every once in a while. I shoot him notes, and
Yeah.
is what a great guy.
Yeah. That's a John
And
Hall inside joke.
he's all right.
Go on. He's
What?
all right.
Introducing you to Mitch?
Introducing young brewers to Mitch Steele.
I love doing that. Yeah.
It's
This is
always
Mitch. He
fun.
invented IPA.
Yeah,
He
he wrote the
wrote the
book.
book. You dick.
Yeah.
I've had to say you dick to people once or twice. Anyway,
Oh
go
man.
on. Sorry.
There was a guy, right? Last
Yes,
time we were
John.
out.
Come
Yeah.
on, buddy. That's the joke. Anyway,
Okay.
go on.
I
Sorry,
forgot. Yeah.
buddy.
Oh
Go
yeah.
on.
Are you new to brewing? Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to, hey, what do you do? Who are you? And
So,
this person identified as the head brewer of a top 1,000 brewery.
yeah.
I was like, do you not know who that is? Anyway, go on.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of knew my time in California was coming to an end because my wife got into Yale's nursing program for
Wow.
midwifery, and we were you know, from Connecticut originally, and we you know, it pulled me back. So we moved back to Connecticut, and I started working cellar at a brewery called Stony Creek, and in Brantford, Connecticut, and worked there for about 4.5 years. And when I left, I was, you know, kind of director of ops. And you know, we went It was early days in Connecticut craft beer too, because we went from kind of 8,000 barrels the first year to 18,000 the second year with like five people.
Wow.
And then I think we peaked around like 23-ish thousand barrels, and then started feeling the pinch of launching into markets without supporting and not getting the reorders. And it was a lot of learning experiences from how that brand kind of positioned and went about things. And I left there to hop on at the 12% Beer Project, which had kind of just been getting started in North Haven, which 12% was the distributor partner for brands like Evil Twin and Stillwater and
Oh, yeah.
a bunch of others, and they built out a
They actually just picked up Brick City in Jersey.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, Brick City lost their space. So, their current solve is 12%'s making their beer and distributing it in Jersey.
It's a good solve.
It sounds like they saved them from just disappearing for a while. So, it seems like it's a cool idea and relationship.
There's a lot of advantages to it, and excellent production team that makes very high quality product. I was kind of me and this guy Chase were running the operations there and kind of taking the recipes, adapting them, sourcing insane ingredients. I would put a fair amount of blame on 12% for the whole industry jumping the shark.
Yeah,
It's the only
I'd agree
place
with that.
I've had to, source beef jerky and lobsters for a mixed four pack that was surf and turf for Evil
God.
Twin.
Oh, God. Yep.
Oh man, but
I missed that one, and I will give him shit next time I see him.
yeah, we only did it once. It was it well,
It's not
interesting.
the kind of thing you need to do twice. John, didn't we once have a beer on the show that had lobsters in it or something?
Probably.
Okay. I thought it was like gold foil and lobsters. Anyway,
Mean,
cool.
I'd prefer that over what's in glass two right now.
Yeah, so here's the
This
thing about
is,
glass too.
oh.
I think I think, and obviously the ALS beer tipped it. But oh, are you just jumping in there,
Can't.
Gordon? Bless your heart.
Yes. Don't
Bless. All right,
call
so
it that.
give
Don't
it a minute.
call it that.
It's sitting in front of me. That's what it says on it.
That's just
Anyway.
not, no.
Okay. Sorry, I read. Anyway,
Punctuation in
anyway.
there. So the
Okay,
initial
but
nose on this, I
wait,
was
wait,
like, oh,
wait,
it's
wait,
like
wait, wait, wait,
a
wait, 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 wait.
what,
So
what?
what? So you jumped me. I was ready to give notes, and you can go second. So when I first smelled it, it smelled like we've had two back-to-back beers that I accused of like devolving in the glass, like big brewers taking hop boosters. Pouring them in at the end, saying that's what the kids like, and moving on, and the deterioration was too rapid. When I smelled this, it smelled like those beers. However, what I will give it credit for is that hop aroma is still sticking there and it's not deteriorating. But I think Kennedy did a double zero thing because there's that kind of wordy
Oh, 100%.
feeling on my tongue that is better obfuscated by this amount of hopping. Than it has been in the past. But when I stopped drinking to listen to Gordon talk, it just settled as that kind of, like I said, for me, it's always the Gordon, you actually talked about home brewing with your dad. So it would be that, the malt extracts that people bucket brew with when they first start. NAs always leave me with, why does it taste like uncooked wort? Wait, why does it taste like malt extract? Oh, it's an NA. You know what I mean? That's kind of my thought process to get there. And
Yeah,
that
it's
happened
the,
with this, but it was hidden
arrested
by,
fermentation.
yeah, but it was hidden by a tremendous amount of hopping that now tastes like stale, smells like stale orange juice. Anyway, Hal, what were you going to say?
Yeah, so the initial, when I first poured it into the glass, I was like, oh, this has some like lemon lime kind of bright vibrancy to it. And then it just kind of went in with that first sip to Rancid is too strong a word, but it's teetering around that when it comes to like the orange juice that you were talking about.
Yeah.
It's this is just it it I hope this is NA.
I'm pretty sure it is.
And it is years ago when a lot of the NAs started to pop up, I remember, you know, either writing about it or talking about it to somebody where it's like, you know, the previous ones, like the Red Bridge or the, you know, the O'Doul's or like whatever they were, often tasted like a punishment, and that some of the ones that were out there these days, you know, were doing the better job of it. This tastes like punishment. This tastes like you did something.
Wow.
Yeah.
So well,
I'm like legitimately mad at this beer.
I feel it. I feel you seething. That being said, I was left with, and I've already given up on it, right? The minute the aroma turned into that, you know, oops, somebody left the orange juice out on the counter for 4 days and then put it back in the fridge smell.
Yeah.
So I was like, I guess, because I like I said, at some point I was like, oh, it's NA, it tastes like that. I was like, but why would you want the amount of calories that have to be in this beer without alcohol?
It's got to be a non-alc hazy.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? So it's got to have all the unfermented wheat. It's got to have all the unfermented fucking barley. Like all those tastes we're getting are high sugar tastes. At some point, you should just have a Coca-Cola.
High sugar tastes.
I bet this clocks in around 100 calories, maybe.
Right. And if you're not at least getting a little warmth and buzz off it, why take those calories when you could just have a Coca-Cola?
Sure. You know,
you really hate this beer.
I'm opening it.
Okay. What is it?
It's from
mine's over by the sink and it's foil, if you can't imagine.
Keep it juicy. That's their tagline. This is from Two Roads. Called Two Juicy Zero Non-Alcoholic Hazy IPA. 70 calories on the can here.
Ugh.
This is
Do they multiply by zero?
To me, it's really, you know, ugh, oxidation with the
the fall off on these hop additions is getting crazy to me. I really want to go have a meeting with everybody who's bigger than 100,000 barrels about how to use these fucking additions.
Well, I know with this one there it's majority pellets. You know, I've talked with Phil about the, you know, kind of their approach to this, and we, you know, full disclaimer to when you try our IPA, we've had to really kind of reverse engineer or just reorder the operations in order to not be classified as a malt beverage. So we're doing a lot of the majority of the hopping here where the actual brewing takes place offsite.
Got it.
And
I wanted to ask you a question about that. So quickly, let's dip into that because I'm the local brewer, and because friends and family want to support me, I often get that question, right? Like, hey, I don't really drink anymore. I've been liking the NAs. I'm a big fan of da 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 da. When are you going to make an NA? And I've had the shit scared out of me by Chief and all the people who do the research that you should never make an NA unless you can pasteurize, and I can't. Yep. So I always say, look, I will make an NA at Industrial Arts with Chief or at one of these other places, but I wouldn't really trust NAs from breweries smaller than people like Industrial Arts who've made that commitment to process and equipment. Can you inline pasteurize where you're making the beer and all that? Is that all part of your plan? Or are you one of these, let them all get botulism and it'll be funny down the road, guys?
That's bad business.
There's a lot of people playing that game, dude. If you read the papers, which I'm sure you have because you sound very informed on this, it's scary as shit that there's little brewers just half fermenting beers, letting them re-ferment in the can and seeing what happens.
Yeah, it's really, really bad for the category overall. And, you know, I taught at Sacred Heart for the brewing science program for a little bit for the first 2 years, kind of kicked it off. I did a sensory and raw materials class. And the second year I had a kid in there who didn't drink but loved NA, and every week he'd bring me in a different non-alc, which eventually I stopped drinking because the amount of small brewers that were...
Because you flunked him? Yeah. Yeah. And that's the opposite of the apple to the teacher. Yeah.
He ended up doing great. And, you know, now works for Athletic. But you know, at that point, I don't know, I was probably still bitter about when Athletic launched and they poached our lab guy at Stony Creek, and I just couldn't wrap my head around, you know, like, who was going to buy this. Athletic did not taste great then. You know,
it's fine.
They've come a long ways.
Okay, if you think so.
Yeah, well, those first couple batches I tried, I was like, this is going to fail.
I don't know when did they come on the show, John? Were they brand new?
27. Oh, they were on the show. John? Came on
years ago. Yeah, I mean, it was probably 17, 18.
Yeah, so right there towards the beginning. But yeah, the it's just too risky. You got to pasteurize, and you know, we do a fair amount of co-packing for other brands. You know, we've got the additional capacity. I mean, we're a tiny facility, but you know, we can pump stuff out with Ironheart. We don't have long tank residency, which is probably the best thing about moving from brewing to this. And we're going to get a pasteurizer from ABV Tech, if you guys are familiar with
ABV. I am, yeah. They're out in the Twin Cities, yeah.
Yeah, and make some pretty darn good de-alked beer and wine. But they invented a giant air fryer, so you can put a pallet of finished goods in it, and it'll blow hot air on it, heat it up, and spin it around as it's going, and then cool it back down afterwards. And
can you do like a 130 hold on that for extended periods? Is that
yes? You can whatever your process authority letter dictates, you can do whatever time and temp you need.
I'm a super big fan of 130 for 12 instead of, you know, 180 for one.
Yeah. I mean, when you're, you know, depending on how you're de-alking and what, you know, how concentrated your retentate ends up being, you know, I don't know, you just being gentle, slow and low, I will always lean to and, any part of the process.
By the way, I just want to point out that you said Ironheart out loud, and like magic, Cass showed up in the waiting room.
Hey. Are you fucking kidding me? Doesn't Cass know we're done? The show's over.
Well, I figured since it was only 45 minutes past, you know, you
might
still be on.
It's supposed to be 40 minutes, buddy. You're right. Here we are. Hey, Cass. What's so you on? Snuck Howdy, another Gordon. One in. You snuck another What's one up, in Brian? Without telling us.
Yeah.
So he's so not Hall, even hiding it so anymore. Hall, yeah. So Gordon, we do need to wrap this up.
Yeah.
But sorry, we're supposed to be 40 minutes, we're already over, but you've been saying a lot of fun shit. So I actually wanted to throw two stones at the wall because we keep promising we'll do a Thursday night drink up, and we do have your beers, and you've now lived through a proper episode. So I was thinking that Hall needs to get on the phone with Kennedy when he has a free minute, plan either this Thursday or next Thursday night. And I will drink your two beers on the show on a four Patreons, whatever. And anybody who wants to join us can join us. And, you know, you can buy other weed seltzers or you can drink O-Dub. I don't care. And we'll do a Patreon live and tie this up with Gordon, and we'll drink his two beers at that point. Everybody okay with that? Because we do need to
do it on the
show.
If Gordon is free, we'll do it on the 24th of July.
Okay. Well, let's plan all that off air, and Patreons watch Patreon, non-Patreons.
And if you
want to
become a Patreon,
our Facebook page. Brian Cass, do your part.
Yeah, patreon.com/stealthisbeer. Kick us the dollars and cents. It goes a long way and keeps us running. We appreciate you all that do it already.
We do.
Write us love letters or hate mail. That's stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com. See us on the social medias. That is the Facebook. That is the Instagram. Steal this beer. See what we're drinking on Untapped. And I think that rounds it out.
Yeah.
All right, Gordon, we appreciate you being here. You obviously have way too much knowledge and conversation for us to fit into a 40-minute episode. But let's plan this, guys. Let's do part two.
If you can do it, Gordon.
For those who are interested, Gordon,
I
just
think
pick.
I can.
All right, lock it in. Make sure Kennedy's good, and we'll do a old school COVID days live Zoom for the patrons where I drink 2-3% THC beers, and we see how that goes. That'll be fun.
Love it.
All right, y'all. Talk to you soon. Be good.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, man. Get at us.